Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you might be listening from. You're listening to another episode of CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. My name's Rob Medford, and I'm your producer. And in this week's episode, we talk to Jeff Phillips from Accounting Fly. He goes over his role in the job placement for accountants and finance professionals. We'd like to thank all of our listeners for helping make us your number one podcast for CPA professionals. If you haven't already done so, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast to continue hearing all the great content that Yeager CPA Review and our podcast, CPA Review and More, has to offer. If you're in the market for a CPA Review course or simply want to know more about CPA Review, check out YeagerCPAReview.com and don't forget to use promo code PODCAST to take advantage of 15% off your Yeager CPA Review course bundle.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and I want to welcome you to our podcast called CPA Review and More. And I want to thank everyone out there before we start with our guest today. We actually are now number one. With the number one podcast. Is that correct, Rob?
We are.
Thank you very much. And we had to bring in an audience to clap for that. All right. But anyway, we're the number one podcast. And why are we the number one podcast, Rob?
We have been rated number one out of the top 10 podcasts for CPAs based on the content we provide, the regularity of how we provide that content, being that we're right now one of the only ones that are actually producing a new podcast every single week. It's also based on our following base on social media platforms.
And another reason is the terrific guests we are able to get. And one of those terrific people who I've actually met before and spoken before is Jeff Phillips. Jeff, how are you today?
Phil, I am great. And I mean, really, let's be honest, it's number one because of the dynamic hosting of yourself.
Oh, myself. I was looking around when you said dynamic. I said, who's he talking about?
Just excellence. There's everywhere I look around here is excellence when it comes to this podcast.
Jeff, I want to thank you. And by the way, how is Aunt Josephine doing, by the way? No, we're not related. I just want to clarify that. Jeff and I are not related. All right, but Jeff is, let me give you a background, and this is quite impressive. Jeff is CEO at a company called Accounting Fly, all right? And he's located in Pensacola, is that correct, Florida?
My hometown, yes, sir.
And Jeff, I mean, this is not, we're talking here, a bright guy. You know, we don't just get off, you know, the people off the street. Jeff is a graduate of, he's got an MBA from Southern Methodist University, and his MBA is in strategy. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And also, he went to Baylor University. Baylor, all right. And by the way, excellent football team, don't they? Baylor.
Well, it's a long story, but they're coming back up. Yes.
We'll talk about that when we have our show with ESPN. Thank you very much. but anyway, he has a BBA in economics, and also, all right, we don't like the name drop. Who did you go to school with? You want to tell them? You tell me, Jeff.
You really want to bring this up. I went to school with Chip Gaines from Fixer Upper. And then we weren't that close, but we were in the same class at Baylor.
And actually, Chip did come over to Jeff and say, Jeff, if you don't want to be CEO of Accounting Fly, all right, we want you to join our multi-million dollar, billion dollar industry. And Jeff said, no, I want to do something to help mankind. And that's the type of person he is. And he didn't go with Chip and Joanne Gaines. And he's regretting it now. And that's another show we'll talk about, right?
Chip is a huge fan of the podcast. He wanted me to tell you that.
Well, we also, I watch his show every day on the Home and Garden. And God, I'm waiting for him to call me because our house could use a little fixing up, you know? And we'd like to move our house to Waco, Texas, by the way. That's the other thing. And I have nothing against Waco. It looks like a very nice place. But that's another story, and I'm probably going to get people writing in about Waco. All right, so let's get down to the why Jeff is here. Jeff actually the way I met him is he was publisher of a, was it a magazine? Is it, or was it a blogger? What was it? Going Concern? What was that originally, Jeff?
It's an online website. It's a news site targeting specifically early career accountants. And Going Concern's been around for 10 years, Phil.
And most of your articles are, what do the bloggers write about in Going Concern?
Going Concern is an interesting place on the web. I would describe it as an irreverent and snarky place for people to kind of poke fun at their own careers in public accounting. So it's mostly people at the Big Four who read Going Concern, and so it's a little bit of a water cooler where people go and make a little bit of fun, poke light of a day-to-day life working in a Big Four firm.
And then after they talk about that, how long do they stay at those firms after they talk about that? What's the average life of those employees?
That is a loaded question.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
They don't stay long.
Yeah, it's too bad. Too bad. And then but you can deal with that because you have this company called Accounting Fly, right?
That's right.
And, all right. Now tell us about this company. And it says, and I'm going to read this, it says Accounting Fly, okay? They specialize in clout, all right? Did I say clout? I'm sorry. Cloud
accounting.
Remote. And by the way, he's not a meteorologist here when I say cloud. He's in cloud remote accounting jobs, project-based staffing, and permanent placement, all right? Tell us about Accounting Cloud. Did I say Accounting Cloud? I'm sorry. Tell us about your company, Accounting Fly.
Accounting Fly is a staffing company. We're an online platform, and we connect accountants and bookkeepers with job opportunities. So if you're an accountant looking to switch jobs, we have a team of recruiters who can help you find your next great job, including remote or work anywhere jobs or jobs at outsourced accounting firms, traditional CPA firms. And if you're an employer, we bring a ton to the table. We use online marketing. We drive up qualified candidates, screen them, assess them, rank them, present them to you. And we do it at about 60% of the cost if you've ever used a traditional staffing firm. So I'm sure we can talk more about it later. But look, Accounting Fly is here to help people find jobs.
For example, these larger, like I guess Robert Half International, they place people, do they not, in the Big Four, the big firms? Do they get jobs for people in the Big Four?
They do, yep. And Robert Half works a lot with corporations too. So if you're leaving the Big Four and going into, you want to work at Google, Robert Half probably help you out there.
All right. Now, Robert Half gets people jobs. Do you have any statistics on the turnover rates that Robert Half, when they place people in those jobs versus when you place people in the positions, how does your turnover rate, do you keep track of that? Do you do anything differently so that they'll like the company more, stay there versus leave as quickly as they do when they're placed by other agencies?
It's a really good question. And we actually do. We have an exceptional track record. And since January of 17, of everyone we've placed at a client, 91% of those hires are still there. And if you run an accounting firm, you're listening to this, you know that is exceptional. The typical turnover just across the public accounting profession is the highest it's been in a decade. It's around 25%. And if you've ever worked with some of the larger staffing firms, you know that your turnover is probably greater than that. Accounting Fly is very selective in who we work with. We're selective in the candidates we put in front of jobs, and we're the best in the business in terms of making that match and assessing candidates, and that's why we have that great turnover rate. But we're a lot smaller company than Robert Half, but we're winning there. I can promise you that.
Well, what are you doing differently than Robert Half International that your placements are actually lasting longer? What's the average life of someone you place in a company staying in that company versus what the market is like? Can you tell me that?
The market is about – the market for millennial accountants is about 18 months of staying in a job, which is abysmal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're too early to be able to know how long, but how long our average tenure is. However, it's at least 2 years, and so you got that's a big bottom line impact when a candidate's staying longer. We're just a younger company and don't have enough of a track record to say it's 3 or 4 or 5 years. What I do know is that most people, you know, 20-25% of people are turning over in their jobs every year, and we're getting about 9% of people turning over their jobs.
That's really excellent. It seems like the reason these other search firms, if I mean, they still use that term, search firms, do they not?
Yeah.
Right? That their employees have a very high turnover rate is, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, the companies that they are placing people with are scaring the candidates away, you know? What is your opinion on that? And if they are scaring them away, what are they doing to scare people away when they start going into these accounting jobs?
Well, so I think we're going here is speaking to, why is there a high turnover among public accounting firms? Is that
correct.
The question?
Yes, it is.
Well, you're right. I mean, Phil, like I said earlier, right now is the highest turnover we've seen in over a decade among traditional public accounting firms. When you own a property like Going Concern, you actually get to ask the talent, what's the deal? And so the question that we ask the people in Going Concern is, why are you not sticking around in these firms? And, you know, I think there's a lot of things. One, I think it's tough to get a CPA, tougher than in years past. There's a heavy experience requirement. I'm sure we can talk about that. But for me, it boils down to, I think most accounting firms are running off the best people and ruining accounting for these candidates. And what do I mean by that? Because it's a harsh statement. When you talk to candidates who leave firms, we got our hands on a study, and I can provide the quotes for this if we need to. But what it basically said was, if someone in public accounting leaves their job or they change jobs, about 30% of those who change their jobs go to another accounting firm, and 70% of those that change jobs go somewhere else.
Do they go to industry?
They go to industry, or they leave the profession altogether.
And if they just curious, they leave the profession. Well, where would they go? What would they do? Do you know? What do they go into?
Well, what I mean, they leave public accounting and they could take an in-house job. That's where most of them go. Or there's a small sliver that just sells insurance or goes back to law school or, you know, starts a company or something like that. But the vast majority are going and taking accounting jobs inside companies and hospitals and nonprofits. And we asked them why that is. And so, you know, it really boiled down to three issues. One was just a complete lack of work-life balance. Overwhelming hours, overwhelming need to be on call for clients relative to the compensation that they are getting. So there's a general dissatisfaction there. I think a lot of the firms didn't take the time to build, high quality workplaces or deal with the evolution of the workplace and what's changed there. But we've asked them, it boils down to work-life balance, flexibility, and kind of a lack of vision and mission and culture inside these firms.
Yeah, and they, obviously the work life is the number of hours they work during busy season. And I'm not sure anymore what they mean by busy season, because when I worked in public accounting, busy season was just tax season, you know, from, say, the end of January till April 15th, right, when we had a lot of individual returns and, of course, corporate. Now, talking to people, busy season could be most of the year. And they're working like dog. They work them to death, all right? And I use that word, work them to death. And you see these people, they look exhausted. And then I say to them, all right, you're working all these hours. Are you getting any extra compensation? And I am surprised. And the answer is no, because their answer is, well, if they're offered a starting salary of $60,000, all right, then that includes, they take into account, that's the overtime. Because you have to work a certain number of hours during the year. And that's not fair because, one, they're not really being paid for the overtime. Hey, the firms are billing the clients for their time, All right. So the firms are taking advantage of those employees. And I don't, you know, and I'm sure the firms know that. And the employees, they're usually young, you know, very impressionable young people, and they don't see that. They don't see that. They don't see that they're being used. And I don't know why the firms don't, you know, in any way, just wake up and smell the roses here. Because it's, you know, what are they going to do? Get paralegal people? Paralegal, I'm sorry. Are they going to get people who are not accountants, not CPAs, to do that work? Are they going to outsource it? What are they going to do? I mean, do the firms, are they aware of what's going on? This the work-life situation, the compensation that they're paying? I mean, do you have any dealings with these firms? Do they ever come to you and ever say, hey, we got these problems. We can't get people. What do you recommend?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is really, it angers me. I don't like people to be taken advantage of, okay? And they don't even give them more hours. You know, it used to be, well, we're not going to pay you any overtime, but we'll give you additional hours during the year, more vacation. But that doesn't even work because they would give them more hours, you know, because they worked overtime. But there's so much work they have during the year, they never use those extra hours, all right? Now, if someone presented that to me, now, of course, I'm older now than I was when I first started working, all right? And I probably didn't think the way I think now. But now I say, these people are, you know, I don't want to use the wrong word, but they're really taking advantage of these people, all right? Now they have to go for this fifth year of education, all right? 150 hours,
right.
Big mistake. And a lot of them are majoring in finance now because they can get higher opening salaries and they don't have to work the fifth year. So instead of going into accounting, they go into finance. So, I mean, all of these things are out there and I don't know what the firm, and it's interesting. I don't think the firms, most of the revenue for the firms, is it not coming from consulting, the big four?
Yeah.
Where's the revenue coming from now? Do you know?
Well, it's coming from the hours billed by the staff.
But what's most of the type of work the big four are now doing? Is it the audit or are they doing other like consulting? And, you know, and most of their revenue comes from that. Do you have any idea about that?
Audit and consulting.
All right. So of those two, audit consulting, which one do they make more for? What's the big revenue producer, consulting or the auditing or both?
Well, I mean, I assume it's audit unless they have a big robust consulting practice, but regardless, it's the same business model. It's a leveraged hierarchy model where there are partners at the top and there is an army of talent below.
And yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's the same model as a law firm, no matter how you slice it and dice it. It's the model of hiring a large group of people at the bottom to do the work and they generate the most margin. They work the highest hours relative to the compensation that they're getting. But what's one thing I disagree with is that you said the new hires are sort of kind-hearted people and willing to get ripped off. But, you know, we talk about millennials. Millennials are an empowered generation and will not allow to be ripped off. And
tell us how companies are dealing with millennials. Is there a certain way you have to deal with them versus the other generations we've had in the past?
I think, and I'm not a millennial, but I this is my take on it, Phil, is that I always say it's not really a millennial problem why we have high turnover. You're either a good place to work or you're a lousy place to work. What's different about millennials and my generation, Gen X, is they don't put up for it. They don't put up with being in a lousy place to work, and that's why there's a high turnover, and that's why there's, you know, they're unwilling to stick around in a bad job. But what we've seen happen as because millennials have gotten into the workforce is, and combined with technology change, I've seen two major trends happen. Millennials aren't willing to work and not get paid for it. You referenced this earlier. So we've seen a huge rise of gig economy talent. So millennials will leave the big four, hang up their own shingle as independent contractors who can specialize in one little niche audit piece or one little niche tax piece or a consulting piece, and they get paid every hour that they work. So they're taking, you know, 5 or 6 years of the big, you know, in public accounting and learning and all they've learned from that and becoming independent consultants. And that's
they're not taking the CPA exam, are they? Right out of school?
Well, didn't you? Some of them do. I mean, some of them who stay in the big four public accounting firms do take the CPA exam. It sounds like from the AICPA that number is dropping.
But you just spoke about this group of millennials that they go out, hang out, they start their own business. All right. Are these people, they're doing consulting work, but do these people have CPAs or they feel, hey, they'll just do consulting without the CPA? They don't need the CPA.
A lot of the freelancers that we know do have CPAs. So they went ahead and completed the CPA and become, you know, a CPA credentialed independent contractor with a specialty in revenue recognition standard and, you know, go and do that project for companies for 8 months out of the year, don't work 4 months out of the year. But yeah, they're getting their CPAs. I mean, what we know is you know the drop off of the CPA number, right? It's we're getting the same amount of college students majoring in accounting, but the number who start the CPA has changed, right?
Right, exactly. And I guess it has to one of the group, the millennials, as you say, then when I graduated, the thing was you gotta get certified. You should take that CPA exam right out of college. It's an academic exam, and the sooner you take it, the information's in your head, it's gonna disappear more as you wait. All right. Now,
that's not
from what I understand, the millennials, there's no rush. And I don't know if they've come up with a solution to say, how are we going to get these millennials to take the exam out of school? And I don't think they have an answer for that. In fact, I don't think the ICP has an answer for a lot of the problems we are experiencing. All right. But anyway, let's just go back to your accounting fly. Okay. All right. Now, the type of candidate that you are dealing with is who? Tell me who your candidates are, all right? Where they're coming from, that they come to you, and how do they find out about you?
We work with accountants at the senior and manager level who've had some experience in public accounting mostly. Most of our clients in Accounting Fly are public accounting firms, but they are public accounting firms who have made steps to address the work-life balance issues, the flexibility issues, the lack of mission, vision, and culture inside public accounting firms. So in other words, we're trying to curate accounting firms that are great places to work. And if we can do that, then the people who are drawn to the profession of accounting, they understand that's what our brand means, and they can find you. So one of the biggest types of jobs that we fill is remote work. And what I mean by that is full-time US-based jobs at accounting firms that where you can work anywhere you want to. I mean, Phil, last year, 90% of the jobs that we placed at accounting firms was fully remote. In other words, like the firms in downtown San Francisco, they need a tax manager, but they're struggling to compete in the labor market in San Francisco. And so we'll go find them a tax manager in Cincinnati at a great salary. That's a win for both firms. And they build these virtual teams. And it's playing really well into the issues that we've talked about on this call, right? So the candidates, the talent, they want flexibility and they want work-life balance. The firms want to find people. Recruiting is still a top three issue for all these firms. And so remote work, and you guys talked about in your last podcast, is a really nice, attractive solution for both parties to win.
I read this and it says, we don't make cold calls to candidates. Well, if a client comes to you and says, we want a tax CPA, all right, I would think, how do you find one if you don't make cold calls? What do you mean by I don't make cold calls? All right. Obviously, you got to call around and find someone. Now, you don't, they used to say, well, these search firms steal from other companies. And, but I'm not going to use that term. I think that's sort of a rough term. How I want a tax person for my CPA firm. Okay. And I want someone who has 4 years experience. And the experience is someone who does international taxation. Okay. All right. I have a firm. And by the way, what's the average size of the firm you get people for?
The average size is probably, like $10 to $15 million revenue firms.
Okay, good size. All right, so here it is. Jeff, get me someone who has this international tax experience, and we're willing to pay this amount. How would you find that person? Can you share that with me? Or is that sort of a confidential secret to your organization?
No, it's happy to share it. So and yes, headhunters poach from your firm. Your staff are getting 15 calls and 25 LinkedIn messages every single week. Get used to it. Mm-hmm. We have a different model, and it's one of the reasons why we operate at a lower cost. If you notice, a headhunting firm like Robert Half, they never tell you who the employer is. It's a secret. So they have to call into these firms with armies of cold callers and get these candidates to want to talk to the staffing firm. What we did at Accounting Fly was we decided we were not going to hide who the employer was. We were actually going to market the employer on the internet, on social media, using going concern, using a large email list, and sell the employer to candidates. And when you do that at scale, you bring in lots of candidates who are now interested in the employer for what makes the employer interesting and what makes the job interesting. And what that eliminates is people who have to do all these cold calls, and it creates more of a marketing machine that brings in candidates into the Accounting Fly team. Now, so we've eliminated one of the people in the process of filling jobs. That's the cold caller. So now what we have is this team of recruiting experts, ex-headhunters, who screen all those applicants that come in and find the top three and refer them to the candidate. But how we get them is through internet marketing.
Okay. Like what, LinkedIn, that type of thing?
So like having 50,000 people on our social media accounts, an email list of 50,000, owning going concern, which is read by 140,000, 130,000 people every month. We've got a big universe of accountants that we can talk to. So if you know, you go back to what we said earlier, we try to find the best employers and work with them, and we put those good jobs in front of our audience. They're coming to us. We call it inbound recruiting. We're not making outbound cold calls. The candidates are coming to us because we're openly promoting the jobs and the employers that work with us because they're excellent employers.
And once you place someone, I guess you keep up with how they're doing for a period of time to find out that they're enjoying what they're doing, or what do you do in that case?
Yeah, one of the things you have to do is make sure the employer is good at onboarding a new hire. A lot of people leave their jobs because they don't get clear instructions when they first start, or because no one smiles at them and talks to them and they feel very lonely. Right. And so a lot of people leave their jobs. So we want to be involved in that process with the employer and the hire to make sure everybody's happy, because we have a financial interest in making sure that happens. But yeah, I mean, we keep in touch with candidates because we build relationships with them and make sure that everything has worked out for them. It's also one reason why we own Going Concern, is because there's a way that we can keep up with all these people we place just by the content we produce on Going Concern and keeping them entertained and keeping them around our brand. And our whole vision is, if you can get every accountant to read our content, then we should be successful in placing 1% of them into jobs at really good employers.
And you advertise in Going Concern about these positions you have?
We do.
You do. And is that still provide a major source of revenue for your company? The ads people come from in Going Concern, or is it the social marketing, would you say?
Going Concern is probably the second biggest source of applicants for our jobs. We don't sell advertising to ourselves, but we just kind of co-op the advertising available in Going Concern. But there are advertisers on Going Concern. There's some that we've worked with, test prep companies, CPE companies, universities. But Going Concern is a big part of how we attract candidates, no doubt about it.
I see you work for Monster.com.
I did.
What did you do with Monster.com? And how has that helped you in what you're doing now?
I was a sales guy at Monster.com. I would sell recruitment solutions and then implement it. And one of the projects I worked on was H&R Block. I didn't realize this, but H&R Block hires, you know, tens of thousands of tax preparers, seasonal tax preparers every year. And I saw how we worked at Monster and used all internet-based recruiting to help them fill many of those positions. And I saw how the internet could transform the recruitment process firsthand, because Monster did that. You know, Monster invented the internet recruiting category. And working at Monster and working in sales at Monster made me 100% want to start a business and take that model that we learned there and apply it to small businesses, or, you know, in our case, we chose accounting firms to be our client. So I sold recruitment advertising at Monster.com for 6.5 years. I was mentored by the best salesperson I know, and it changed my career. It's one of those jobs that you never forget having, because you know, I was terrible at it at the beginning, and I had a really good mentor that showed me how to be disciplined and have a formula to succeed. And I carry that with me every single day at Accounting Fly, because I'm the head sales guy at Accounting Fly.
When you majored at SMU, what is the major strategy? I've never heard of that. Can you tell me what that is?
Well, a lot of it was revolved around entrepreneurship. So the degree in strategy was focusing on making strategic decisions to affect the enterprise. But what we did was we spent a lot of time in entrepreneurship classes. So, you know, strategy is about how you get from A to B. And so we had some really good teachers at SMU who were effective at that. But where I really focused my studies at was entrepreneurship and being around professors who had started companies and learning from them. And I eventually did start a company, but, you know.
Is that business development you're talking about?
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't business development. It was entrepreneurship studies at SMU. So learning from people who had started their own companies was a really good tool for me. Those are the kind of teachers that I was looking for.
Have you kept in touch with any of these people over the years to help you in your ventures?
Man, that's a great question. And no, I haven't. I don't know why that is. I got an MBA at night, and I wonder if that was kind of there's something to, you know, going to school at night, so you don't develop relationships with professors as much as you would if you went full time.
Right.
But I haven't. I don't regret that. And hey, if you want to major in entrepreneurship, I think there's a lot to be gained from there. But the ultimate way to learn, you know, buy a Subway franchise, buy a Cricket Wireless franchise, take a loan out, get something small, learn how to run a business, start a paper route, start a lemonade stand, whatever, you know, the modern day version of that is, and learn to manage a business. I was a really good salesperson. I got a lot of trophies when I was at Monster.com for sales performance, but then I started a company, Phil, and I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I know all those entrepreneurship classes did not come in handy when you start raising capital.
No, they don't teach that. They really don't teach that.
No. I don't think it's possible. It is a jump in the deep end, try to start swimming, or die trying kind of a thing. And it's not the easiest. And I have a lot of respect for people who can pull that off.
I agree with you totally. I want to get back to the big problem is there is a shortage of CPAs. The reasons are, of course, the experience requirement. And I, before we actually were on the air, I spoke to you and I said, before the AICPA it's actually the state boards of accountancy. Okay. It's the legislatures who change the experience requirements. I don't think they know in a lot of cases when they change it, how it's affecting the market, but then they get this 150-hour rule, which I will go on to the rest of my life saying it was the biggest mistake. You know, who needs it? The extra year of accounting. First of all, the extra year, there really isn't an extra year of accounting you can take. All right. You get all your courses in the 4 years of the bachelor. But that turned people off initially when they first started that. Now people have gotten used to it. And people went on. Everything became okay. Now we have the experience requirement. Hey, let's make it more difficult. Hey, this is something to do. Let's make it more difficult. And they made it more difficult. And it's very hard. A lot of people have a lot of trouble getting the experience requirement, and they're going for the CMA, all right? And you know something? The CMA runs their organization like a business, All right. We have to realize if you're running, I don't care if it's a CMA, CPA, hey, get off your, you know, wake up, smell the roses and say, this is a business. The IMA is treating it like a business. Okay. And you see, because you are placing also CMAs, am I correct?
Yes. You know, we don't see as many as we do the others, but absolutely. And we work with a lot of employers who, the employers we work with outside of public accounting are looking for CMAs. Absolutely.
Do most people want to still go into public accounting? Or do they, you know, you were talking about the quality of life. I mean, has it really changed much? I mean, I know it sounds like the people you're dealing with, all right, you're trying to get them into companies that are willing to give them a better quality of life, okay? But that's the companies you're dealing with. What about all the other companies, you know, the big four? Are they really worried about the quality of life? They're still working these people to death, okay? All right? And, you know, people don't want to go into public accounting. So, you know, the question is, what do they do? Well, they go for another designation, the CMA. The IMA is marketing like crazy, all right? They really are. And actually, I don't know if you're aware of this, their growth has been in foreign markets. Now, I'm curious, why do you don't place people at all in foreign markets? And if, why not? Do you have just so much business here? Or have you thought about going into foreign markets? I know you deal with Canada, but why have you not gone into foreign markets?
You know, when we first started, so we're talking about why it's hard to keep good talent, right? Mm-hmm. When we first started, we signed up a lot of traditional CPA firms and we hit a buzzsaw because we had a hard time filling the open jobs that we were getting. It was very difficult in our earliest years because we did not see that there was this trend happening where a new generation was kind of rejecting the traditional CPA firm. So we spent a lot of time. I mean, this took years to sort of pivot our company and make the commitment to find firms that offered, you know, proactive on the work-life balance, maybe remote jobs or even project-based work. We're 2 years into that. Really, we started a whole new company, it feels like 2 years ago. And so we absolutely want to do this part of it globally, and we will. But and because there is so much going on in Australia, New Zealand, and in Europe, is in where there's a lot of job growth happening in the accounting space, and we do not want to miss out on that. And I'm sure you've heard about, you know, outsourced accounting or
yes,
what you
yes.
use that word, client accounting services. Outsourced accounting is
that to people.
Yeah.
What is being outsourced? It's tax returns. What else?
It's really bookkeeping.
Is that the artificial intelligence, the bots?
Well, let's start with outsourced accounting. The outsourced accounting, and you've probably heard it by another name, client accounting services or CAS. Those aren't new business models. A lot of firms do outsourced accounting. What I mean by that is an accounting firm acts as the bookkeeper and the controller for their small business client and does journal entries and month-end close sometimes, and then maybe they'll do their taxes. But really, it's about a monthly payroll, bookkeeping, you know, financial management. What has changed is companies have come along and brought a lot of the new technology and put services in the cloud that have given rise to small outsourced accounting departments can take on way more clients with fewer people because of the technology has made them a lot more efficient. And so you talk about companies like Xero and who has brought a big shift in the market. And so when Xero came along and kind of put the bookkeeping in the cloud, we saw Intuit bring in QBO. We saw a lot of ancillary apps get developed. And we also saw a rise in startup accounting firms who were doing nothing but outsourced accounting or nothing but CAS. We work with a lot of those startup firms. And one of the things that they got right from the beginning was we can hire the best bookkeeper who knows the best technology and is highly efficient, and we don't care where they live. We're going to pay them a good wage, and they can live in anywhere in the country because we're going to build a remote company. And so, you know, I know a lot of CPAs who are leaving a tax career or an audit career and going into outsourced accounting because it's profitable. There's recurring monthly fees. There's a lot of cool technology that makes you very efficient, and they're not working crazy busy seasons, and they're incredibly valuable to their clients. I work with a small cloud accounting firm that does, you know, they're like our CFO, they're like our controller and our bookkeeper, and they do our payroll and our reporting. And I don't have to pay for a full-time CFO and controller and bookkeeper.
Right, right.
So this wave is taking off, and it's really happening in Canada and England, Australia, and you're seeing it happen in the United States too, where firms are really going in deep on outsourced accounting, making new commitments to that. We want to be the staffing brand for that trend, you know, for the trend of outsourced accounting, cloud accounting, client accounting services, whatever you want to call it, because a lot of those jobs can be filled remotely, and there are a lot of people that want to work remotely and are willing to take even a pay cut to do it.
Are they CPAs, or you don't need CPAs?
You don't need as many CPAs as you do in the traditional model.
Okay.
We place a lot of bookkeepers, and I know bookkeepers that are making more money per hour than CPAs and public accounting firms at the same experience level, because bookkeepers have become in demand. So we know bookkeeping firms that are fully remote. They have employees that work all over the world, and they have clients all over the world, and they meet virtually like you and I are doing right now, and run highly profitable businesses with big recurring monthly fees. So I see that. I live in the world of careers, and I see accountants coming into the profession because they have they have a real passion for serving clients. They have a passion for business and money and inside of a business. And this is a great home for them because it is not commoditized. It is unique. You're working with lots of different clients. It's hard work. Public accounting isn't easy, but there's a lot of value being created there.
And what about people outsourcing tax returns? If you outsource tax returns, don't these people, are these people, I guess they're up on current U.S. tax laws and everything. So who are these people? How do they keep up on this current stuff? They're not CPAs? Are they CPAs?
These outsourced accounting practices might live inside a traditional CPA firm. And so they go out and sign up businesses where they do their monthly bookkeeping, and they sell them on doing their tax return because there's a CPA in the office who runs their tax department.
So the outsourcing really, you know, is in the United States. It's really, I got the impression you're outsourcing to India, or they're doing the work. But these firms that are doing this, you're outsourcing them. Actually, they're in the United States, correct? And Canada.
Yes. And I think when people talk about hire remote talent, some firm leaders think we're talking about outsourcing to India or the Philippines. And no, I'm talking about outsourcing to Tulsa or Peoria or Austin or New York. And American U.S.-based accountants or Canadian accountants, depending on whatever country you're in, the talent is in your country. But because you open up the talent pool to anyone in the United States, you can find the very best position, very best person to fill that job. And if you run a CPA firm in Tulsa, you're no longer limited by the 4,000 accounting professionals that live in Tulsa. Mm-hmm. Let's find the best person in America for that job and give it to them and start to manage that team remotely. It takes a few minor adjustments, and you can serve a lot of clients doing that.
Is this outsourcing going to hurt the CPA profession? Namely, these people don't need to be CPAs, so less people will be going for the CPA. Sounds like this may even hurt the CPA profession.
Well, you're always going to have CPA sign off on audits. You're always going to have CPAs, and EAs complete tax returns.
Are we outsourcing audits too? Is that what you're talking about too?
The question is does it negatively impact the CPA profession?
Correct.
What I think it does is it actually keeps disgruntled CPAs or people who thought they might want to get a CPA, keeps them in accounting, because there's a new wave of companies that are building attractive workplaces. And my company's keeping them in the public accounting profession by connecting them, matching them to these better workplaces, these quality firms.
And that's so important, because it is important to go work for a company and be happy. And I'm not sure employers understand that, all right, paying someone doesn't necessarily make them happy. There's other things. And you have to create an environment where people want to come to work every day. All right. I think the employers, you don't educate the employers, do you?
Oh yeah. I speak year round, trying to spread the message of what the talent is looking for to the employers. And I mean, and that's, you talk about going concern. Going concern's role in this role is to kind of poke fun and call those things out that the employers need to fix. And it serves a valuable role, I think, in our accounting world.
Well, I'm glad you have going concern, because the worst thing is I have to get continuing education. And when I go sit at these continuing education meetings and then they have lunch, that's the worst part of the day. I have to sit with these people and talk to them. All right. They are the typical dry, dull people. Okay. And I think to myself, these people have firms. I wouldn't want to work for these people. They would be the cure for insomnia. All right. So, you know, do they read Going Concern? Would they laugh? I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know if the personalities of the, I hope that they're getting better than they were, because we still have a negative image to some degree, you know, as being dull people, all right? And that's another thing. This, you know, the more I talk about this, they have so many problems at the ASCPA, you know, as far as getting people to take the exam, competing. Well, they don't think they're competing with the IMA, okay? All right? They just sit back and, I mean, I don't understand this. They sit back, the IMA's taking over, all right? And they just say, well, I guess, you know, we're the AICPA. We don't have to worry about that problem. And, you know, they sit back. I don't know if they're in la-la land or something. I don't know what the problem is. And as a CPA, even though I never wanted to be an accountant, all right, the CPA has given me a lot of things that I wouldn't have without it. So
right.
I really believe in it. I think it's a great profession, but I hate to see an organization, all right, almost, they don't realize how badly they're destroying it, all right? Look at the IMA. All they have to do is look at the IMA. And, you know, it's interesting. When we have these meetings, they invite the IMA to the meetings, all right? Hmm. The IMA sit there. And I complained about this once, and I was, you know, I was yelled at by all our competitors. They loved it, yelling at me, all right? And they're saying, ah, you know, stop complaining. Let them come to the meetings. And I say, I don't want them at our meetings. They see everything we're doing, you know? So there's another example. these people are so naive. The people who run the review courses, I sometimes wonder what kind of good business people they are. And I probably will remove that from this audio. All right, Rob, remove that.
We're going to keep it in.
Let's keep it in. Yes, let's destroy them. But no, I mean, there's so many problems. And I just wish someone would wake up. And I think what you're doing is really great. Okay. You know, having these people, getting them into positions where they can be happy, enjoy what they're doing. You know, we work, I don't know how many hours we work a year, or what percentage of our life we work. And, you know, we have to work, all right, unless you're born with a big trust fund. But, you know, there should be ways that people enjoy what they're doing. And it sounds like you're doing that. And I would like you, all right, now I'm going to, this is what I do with our guests, okay? Jeff, and by the way, CEO of Accounting Fly. And by the way, is there anything else you want to say before I say what I'm going to say now? You don't know what I'm going to say.
Well, I'll put a bow on it by saying I believe in this profession. I'm the son of an accountant. I didn't think I was smart enough to go into accounting. And I think it's an awesome service. My mission and my team's mission is just to convince the employers to build better workplaces so that we can keep this talent around. Okay. And at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do.
And if we don't have people like you out there, okay, this profession, we're all going to become dinosaurs. We really are. Okay?
You already are, Phil. You already are.
Well, I am. And by the way, my next movie is Jurassic Park CPA. Please catch that at your local theaters. But anyway, and by the way, thanks, Rob. I appreciate that compliment. There's a lot of people retiring from this profession. That's the way it is. But no, I think it's great that you're out there. And I've had people on the show that, you know, they want this CPA to last, all right? They don't want to see it become, you know, extinct. I am concerned of it being extinct. And I'm glad there are people, you know, young people like yourself, all right, that are out there and trying to keep this profession fresh and showing the importance of having accountants. All right. All right. We are needed. We are needed. This people have to know what their companies are doing. They have to know how to handle people who work for their companies. All right. And I think that's, I mean, I really, you know, other than what you did with Going Concern, I really didn't know about this other thing. And I think it's terrific. And I certainly wish you the best with this. And but, you know, I want you to give a if you were giving a plug, you know, here it is. You have a 1 minute. No, take as long as you want. All right. And by the way, I don't know if I told you the rate is 5 million for 30 seconds, but we're going to waive that 5 million for you, Jeff. So anyway, Jeff, I want you to promote your business. Please tell people how you can help them. All right. And it's all yours. Take it away, please.
Well, thanks for that opportunity. Hiring accountants is expensive. It's difficult. It's a top three issue facing firms. It's an important issue for companies. And it's all that we do. And we understand how to convey what is great about your company to talent so that the right talent gets hired. And we are really into helping firms embrace remote work, project-based work or gig economy type work where you can just hire somebody for a few months versus full-time. So we do in-office placement, remote full-time, and project-based hiring. We operate, we have a greater success record than the big brands that you know, because we have a much better service and we do it at about 60% of the cost. So you can learn more at accountingfly.com. You can email me at jeff@accountingfly.com and we'd love to talk to you.
You want to repeat that again, Jeff, so they can, because this is, you know, audio. They're not going to see this.
Well, Phil, we're going to have that in the description as well.
We are? Have we gotten that big?
Oh, we always have that. We always put stuff in the description for people.
I just thought people just had.
Look, when you're talking about the number one podcast, these are the things you should expect.
We are so big that
we always include email, website, any source links that they want us to put in the description. It's all there.
And don't forget to mention our name. And if Denny's is still in your area, mention the name of our program, and you get a 10% off. A grand slam. I think Denny is out of business, aren't they?
No, they're still around.
No, they're still around. I'm going to go try that right now. Phil Yeager sent me.
But before you leave, anyway, how do they get in touch with you, Jeff?
Jeff@accountingfly.com, or you can visit our website, accountingfly.com, to learn more.
And do you have a phone number if people still like to call?
850-712-5440. And I prefer the phone. I'm old school.
I agree with you totally. And I have to say, I have spoken, I don't know the last time I did speak to you. It's more than a year at least.
A few years.
You know, I just don't like everyone I talk to. This may be, you know, I'm not a phony person that says, oh yeah, he's my best friend.
Phil, you know, this has actually been our longest show yet. We're at an hour 45.
Well, Chip is my best friend, but you know, when I spoke to Jeff, I said, yeah, I got off the phone actually, and I was supposed to talk to him again. And unfortunately, we didn't get together. But this man, very sincere. He wants to help people. He wants to keep this profession what it is. And give him a call. You know, hey, it doesn't cost you anything. You know, if you're not happy where you are because you don't feel you're being treated right, okay, Jeff. You know, he'll try to help you. If he can't help you, I'm sure he will say, thank you for calling. And, you know, we can't help you necessarily. Or he'll tell you, we'll give you some time. We'll try to see what you want. How do you do the interview on the phone? Is that how you do it?
Video interviews.
Oh, video interview. Okay. All right. And what's your standard interview as far as time wise?
30 minutes.
30 minutes. Okay. And you don't charge for that?
Not to candidates. We charge the employers.
All right. Gee, you can't, you know, sounds like a good deal, and I'll be calling you right afterwards because Rob is really annoying me, really annoying me.
I'm glad I'll be finding myself in the unemployment line.
Yes.
I have a job for Rob.
He's looking for, what do you want to do, Rob?
Oh, I'm going to stick with podcast production.
Okay. And Rob does a great job, by the way.
Rob does do a great job.
I took you all the way to number one, and now I'm being replaced.
Seriously, Jeff. Anyway, Jeff, you're a good person, and I wish you the best of luck with your business. And, you know, and I always say this, make a lot of money, all right? And you'll make a lot of money because you're out there doing a tremendous service to people, all right? All right. I can tell you're the type of person that's just not in this to make a quick buck and, you know, and just do something for someone and get out. And this is a good person. I can tell he's a good person. Please give him a call if at anything you think he can help you, you know? And I believe if you can't help that person, you'll just tell them. You're not going to waste their time. So anyway, Jeff, take care. And you just have a good weekend. Oh, I'm not supposed to say this because you never know when this is going to be on. Anyway, I'll say it anyway. Have a great weekend, okay? And hopefully, do you get to the Washington, D.C. area?
A couple times a year, Phil. And I'd love to look you up. And I really appreciate you guys having me on. This has been a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for being on with us, Jeff.
Yeah, it's really... Hey, Jeff, you got a great sense of humor. You really do. Jeff, very quickly, tell me about your family. You're obviously married. How many children do you have?
I'm married to a business owner, and we have 3 kids, 10, 8, and 3. So today our 3-year-old is home sick from school, so you may have heard her running around the house, but you got a full plate, my friend.
Oh, no, I didn't hear. I hope she feels better. She gets better, and...
Thanks,
but it sounds like you have a very nice family. And
we do.
And you stay well, have a good summer, and hopefully, you know, if you'd like to at some future time, please come back and we'll find out how it's going at your company. We like to know how the people we talk to, how they're doing.
Amen. Okay? Amen. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Phil.
Thanks again for listening to CPA Review and More with your host, Phil Yeager. If you have any questions or topics you'd like to hear about, we want to hear from you. Send your feedback live to us here at the studio at podcast@jaegercpareview.com. That email will also be in the podcast description for this episode. If you're in the market for a review course or simply want to know more about Jaeger CPA Review and what we have to offer, check out our website. Link will be in the description as well. Don't forget to use promo code PODCAST to take advantage of 15% off your purchase of the CPA Review course bundles on the Jaeger website. And if you haven't already, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast to keep hearing more of the great podcasts that CPA Review and More has to offer. Until next time, take care. On behalf of everyone here at CPA Review and More and Team Jaeger, I'd like to personally thank you for making CPA Review and More the quality podcast that we are today.